well, not only can I hire somebody that works remotely, but they actually do a really good job at it. So I'm a big fan of blessings in disguise.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad.
We have an interesting guest today, Jamie J, who's going to really talk about distance assistance through his firm Bottleneck. You know, it's funny, Andrew, I was just saying, distant assistant, try to say that three times fast, and you'll probably run into a problem.
Yes, but you know, I'm so glad that he'll be joining us on this episode because he is quite the man on efficiency, on getting it done well. And of course, I imagine that led to the creation of his multinational company that serves everything from clinics to other multinational enterprises. So it's a pleasure to have him on today, but I want to talk about a couple of things before he joins us. And that is that we're in a world where people need to clone themselves. They're often not doing things effectively, efficiently, and in the best manner, but they don't know how to do it better. Do you find that you often are in the place that I feel like I'm in, that I know there's a better way?
Yeah.
Just someone to show me the way. I think there's a song by that title.
Well, it is true. Sometimes you wish you could like split in half and have two people do the same thing because we're trying to do two things once. We're multitasking. We got lots of things on our plate. I can say this. I know very few of my family members would want to clone me because of the way things are. But there are times I would like to do that, certainly when you have a difficult project. But I think, you know, when we're talking today about like having a remote-based agency and assistance and somebody that you could reach out to, and of course, covering time zones and having support like that, Andrew, I don't know about you. I think this is going to be really interesting because I think this could be the wave of the future, pulling together global talent in a very efficient way.
It really is. So without further ado, let's bring in Jamie J.
Hello.
Jamie,
welcome, Jamie. I know it was quite a wind up there. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and about Bottleneck, and then we'll get into some more detailed questions.
Well, first and foremost, I want to say thank you both to you, Alan and Andrew, for having me on. Seriously, I'm truly honor and a privilege. I absolutely love podcasts, and I think this is just a fantastic way of sharing good information, lending help or expertise maybe to someone that really, really needs it. I just love the medium. I think it's fantastic, and kudos to you for taking the leap here because I know it's quite a bit of work. Some people don't realize how much work goes into it, so I want to say thanks for that, and yeah, appreciate you guys having me. But my name is Jamie J. I'm the CEO and founder actually of Bottleneck Distant Assistance. And I'm really happy and proud of the fact that we're the world's first dedicated distant assistant company. And there's a lot of people have heard of the term virtual assistant. I think because of the pandemic that we've experienced, a lot more people have been exposed to a distributed workforce or remote workers or virtual assistants because of the challenges of not being able to go in to the office. You're staying at home. And so people have explored different alternatives. And there's a book that was written by Jeffrey A. Green called Crossing the Chasm. You may or may not be familiar with this book, but in essence, he has this little graph. It kind of looks like a camel's back. And it talks about bringing a product to market and making it viable. And I kind of liken what happened to the majority of people in the world that were exposed to the unbelievable events that occurred during COVID, in that when you first create a product, you're an innovator, right? You're that person that you're a little crazy. I think we're all a little crazy if we create something, right? Well, there's 2.5% of the population that are considered innovators, according to this book.
Oh, wow.
Of that, 13.4% of the people are the early adopters. These are the people that trust us. So if they say, Jamie, you did this, no problem. I'm buying it. No problem. I'm in. You just tell me what I need to do. That's a good group of people, right, that you want. But is your product really viable at that point? No, it's not. Then there comes this chasm, this gap, where you have to jump from your little sphere of influence, those who like, love, and trust you, to 34.1% of the population that don't know you, don't know if they like you, they don't trust you at this point. It takes a little while for you to cross that chasm, marketing, sales, content, you know, speaking, doing whatever it is that you're trying to do to get the word out there. And then people start identifying whatever that product or service is. And then people that you don't know all of a sudden start buying this product or start referring to other people. That crossing the chasm is what I like to equate to what just happened. A lot of people did not believe that they could hire somebody remotely and count on them to get the work done. Now, since it was kind of forced upon everybody, well, not only can I hire somebody that works remotely, but they actually do a really good job at it. So I'm a big fan of blessings in disguise. And I think what happened over this past year has really helped people to understand the power and the leverage. Now, I think brick and mortar, there's still a time and a place to go into the office, but there's certain people within an organization that you can have the confidence now to move forward with, even though they're not there sitting right next to you, living, breathing, everything right there in the office. It's been a big change that I've witnessed over time. I'm starting us to see us getting really, really busy. And thankfully, I'm starting to see businesses across the world get, you know, kind of get back to normal. I hope that little tangent was okay.
Absolutely. It was perfect, really. So many people are not aware of the fact that what they're taking to market is unique, and that people need to be able to trust them. They do business, like you referenced, they do business with people they know, love, and trust. And that trust factor is enormous. You know, you have a series called Strategy Eats Culture for Breakfast, right? Is that, do I have it right?
Culture Eats Strategy. It's just Culture Eats Strategy, but it was from Peter Drucker. He wrote the book Culture Eats Strategy for Breakfast. I'm a huge fan of his. He actually got fired from Chrysler because he was trying to preach culture and they didn't agree with that, which is unbelievable to me. But I understand the times were a lot different then. But yeah, a big fan.
So three tenets to that you have, you know, authenticity at its finest, discovering the intangible, leading with kindness. Can you dive into those real quick for us? Because that is so deep and people need to grasp it to the level that you have.
Yes. And thank you. I think one of the biggest challenges we all experience in leadership is finding the right people and getting out of our own way as a leader to find those people and then trust them to kind of do the work on our behalf. Because if we own a company, we build a company. And like when I first started this company, I did everything. I did the sales. I did the development. I did the, I did everything. And I was going nuts. And my wife said, Jamie, if you work one more Saturday and Sunday, you about had it. So I had to figure out a way. So I finally took the plunge and I hired somebody, and I wasn't ready to hire somebody. I didn't think I had the money. I wasn't ready, but I took the plunge because I care more about my wife and our relationship than I do about anything else. So I did it, and unbelievable. I was amazed by the changes. And by the way, this is a little side note too, and I'm a tangent kind of person, so I apologize. Every year I come up with a word of the year, and this word of the year always helps me to kind of hone in on one certain weakness that I have. A couple of years ago, it was focus, finding opportunities by creating uninterrupted strategy sessions. The next year was listen intentfully and soulfully to engage notably. Well, this year, my word of the year happens to be kindness. And kindness illuminates natural decency by creating neoteric energy with selfless statements. Neoteric meaning that's the first thing you're paying attention to. I embrace those like nobody's business. And if you go back to those three things that you were talking about, one of the things that a word that came up quite often was trust. So you can lump those three things and incorporate that into one single word, trust. And that trust comes from the amount of information I get out of my head and document onto a piece of paper or on a Google Doc or some form so that you can delegate certain tasks and have the confidence and the trust that someone, when they repeat that back to you so that you understand they understand you, you now have the confidence and trust to move forward to where you can focus on leading with kindness and speaking on podcasts like this and meeting really cool people like Andrew and Alan. I hope that sums it up good enough for you, but that's kind of where those three basic foundational elements kind of gravitate towards, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And one of the things that kind of ties in our conversation is the word distant worries people. right? I mean, distant, because it means far, whatever. In this day and age, now that we're working Zoom or Teams or whatever, the distance, you know, I laugh. Andrew and I do these, I do calls every day, and it's like we're having a meeting in London and in Brazil and, you know, Arkansas, but we never left our office because we're having meetings like this. So maybe a couple quick comments from you and also from Andrew on distance, in the sense that I think it's really unique about the two of you is I think there's a lot of biases in the United States to the coasts. I really think it's great about both of you is I know you're in Arkansas. Andrew, I know you started in Birmingham, Alabama. I think there's some great, there's great ideas that come out of everywhere. Wherever you're creative, you're creative. It doesn't have to be in the Bay Area. If you could just a little bit about distance and location.
Sure, I'll start it off, but I'd love for you to carry it on with your insights here. I've worked around the world and often with a home base in Birmingham, Alabama, in and out of Brazil for 20 years and living, you know, Ghana, West Africa, Mozambique, working in and out of there in different places. And for me, that is absolutely normal. So when I look at hiring someone, I don't look at where they're from or where they're working as much as who they are, how they operate, their DNA, their integrity, and their qualifications for the role. The mindset that can be so limiting, and you cited Alabama and Arkansas, you can hear it in my accent, even though my accent is quite morphed to be really odd sometimes. Every now and then that Southern drawl comes out, and I did have fried chicken for lunch today. So my Southern drawl comes out, and here I am, good old boy from Alabama. We, as a globally distributed remote company, are based in Birmingham, Alabama, just because PAC system, different things require you to list a city. LinkedIn requires that you list a city on your company page. Well, many companies don't have a city. They're remote. This has got to shift. You know, recently Coinbase, they went public and it was the first company to be registered with the SEC as an addressless company, as a remote company. And it was accepted. So having this mindset, no matter from where you're from, is essential for being able to effectively deal with the new citizen of the world. People are mobile. People are crossing borders that shouldn't be borders and working hours that are insane because they are working for a company across the ocean, but they're willing to, vice versa. You know, we're taking calls to Hong Kong because we want to get up at 2 a.m. to be on their afternoon. So Jamie, what's your take on that? You're leading folks in Colombia and the Philippines and Arkansas and Florida and places in between.
Yeah, and my apologies. I'm actually from Springfield, Missouri, but I'm only about 40 miles north of Arkansas. So 6 1/2 dozen of the other.
Missouri. Okay.
Yeah, Missouri. Yeah, exactly. Two gorgeous states. And so I grew up in Alaska. Then we moved to California. Now, in California, I was there as a teenager and through most of my 20s. I knew in my head at that time what I thought of the flyover states, the Midwest. I thought a bunch of rednecks, hillbillies, you know, banjo playing. Like, that was what we thought of because that was how society was kind of, that's how we acted. And shame on me. When I came out here to Missouri, it's beautiful. There's no 12-lane, you know, freeways going on or anything like that. But the amount of intelligent people, the amount of incredible people that I've met out here, blown me away. And no matter where I go, I have a newfound respect for that certain area because that transition from moving from a West Coast mentality to here, it just opened up my brain. And I'm very, very humble and I understand it. To make that point that you made, Alan, I still know people to this day that live in states around here that have either New York or LA numbers so that it looks like they're part of that. Maybe they're in entertainment or something like that. Yeah. And so they do put a big, heavy onus on that, unless it's, you know, Nashville, right? For music.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know people that have a Nashville number that live here in Springfield, right? Because yeah, a musician and they want to be thought of in a certain way. So that bias is still around. However, going back to what we talked about before, everybody having to kind of relearn a work from home strategy, that's opened up a lot of people's minds. And I think there's a massive shift moving forward into the future. As a matter of fact, the common workplace in the future is going to be a hybrid model. One of the favorite things about, you know, where I work, it's remote. Anywhere with an internet connection, I can work. That's it, right? Doesn't matter. One of the biggest challenges is anywhere with an internet connection, I can work. So I need to be able to shut that down a little bit. But with regards to that specific word distant, I embrace distant. If you look at virtual, what does virtual really mean? In my opinion, a virtual assistant is more of a transactional-based relationship. Now, this does not mean that that's a bad thing, a negative thing. There are certain things. There's companies out there like Upwork. You can go there and get great things done for you. There's Fiverr. There's things like this, but it's transactional-based. With the distant assistant, we're looking for more of a long-term based relationship, because if someone doesn't understand your brand, then maintain the integrity of that brand, your voice, your tone, that all comes with time. And people are so excited and so anxious that this day and age, we live in such a now society and we want to get things done now. And then people get upset because things aren't getting done now. Well, people have to understand they haven't invested the time in developing a relationship. And how in the world can I expect someone, my assistant, for instance, has been with me almost 3 years. If you were to receive an email from me or her, it would be in the same tone. It's unbelievable and uncanny how similar our messaging is. It was not like that in the first month or 2 months or 3 months that we met, but we had something that we could build on, and it took time. And so people have to slow down in order to speed up, in my opinion. So that goes back to distant. So when you're looking at a distant assistant, it's an assistant that's in a distant location, which is kind of normal nowadays, that can support you in such a different and more of a unique way than just a transactional-based virtual relationship. Does that make sense?
It totally does. Thinking differently is essential to advance. If we keep thinking and operating in the same way we always have, we're actually going backwards. We're not going forward. The calendar is moving forward, but we're actually digressing into failure. You said thinking different. We've got to discover the different every day and pursue it. It's that pursuit, I think, that enables business outsourcing. The process is being outsourced so that these results can be multiplied. And, you know, the quality of workers that are available that are outside our geographical area, but sitting there saying, okay, where can I get a job? Many people are sitting there thinking, okay, I can't find people for these roles, but they're there. They just have to think differently to attain them, to get them on board. For us, we needed someone for our European operation recently, added them in the Netherlands. It was normal for me. I've lived in the Netherlands. I love it. We just need someone on European soil. And he was onboarded last week. It's just one thing after another, to where if we can think outside the boxes, where the boxes need a box cutter, just to chop them down and say, okay, let's build a bigger box and not have it be so square. The importance can't be put to words, really.
I've been doing this for 15 years. It started in 2006. I sourced my first 13 assistants in June of 2006. We didn't have Zoom. There was, you know, there's no Eric Yuan. There was, but he didn't have Zoom built. Our internet speeds were one. Like, they were terrible. And someone commented the other day and said, Jamie, you've been social distancing before social distancing was a thing. And I laughed after that, but I thought about it. And I'm like, you're right. And so how did we get from where we were to where we are now? The world is so much smaller now. The talent pool has gone through the roof. And, you know, you can go and pay a medical assistant in the United States right now, $70,000. It's about $70,000. That's not the total, because you got all the other stuff, the FICA and everything else. But $70,000 to get somebody to run your private practice. You can go and get that same assistant, say from the Philippines, who is an RN, who maybe has experience, has college degree or whatever it may be, for about half the cost. And then people go, we're not into sweat labor here, sweat, you know, no sweat houses. No, do you realize the cost of living there is 75% of what it costs to live here? By giving them a salary over there, they're thriving over there. We have assistants that have bought homes, bought cars. We have assistants bought a second car. Like, they're making really good money, yet to us over here in the US, to the UK, to Australia. It's an opportunity for us to really kind of embrace this unique distributed workforce, get up to speed sooner for a lot less overhead, and then help out our clients. The thing that a lot of people miss is the help that you're helping out the clients. Take you, for instance. If something we do can help save you time so that you can focus on helping your clients, we've just created the positive ripple effect that is business. And if we can keep doing that over and over again and spreading out, helping, not only are we doing it in our own backyard or regionally or nationally, we now have a global impact on creating a better life for everybody. And I know that sounds pie in the sky, but I believe in that because one of the biggest things is you hear people bragging, I work 14 hours a day. They're bragging. They're proud of that. Why are you happy about working 14 hours a day? I'm happy because I work 3.5 days a week. I work about 7 or 8 hours each day. I make sure on a Friday, that's hockey Friday at 11.
There you go.
We're God, right? Yeah. Like that's what I want other people to do. Enjoy life. Work your hind quarters off to get to a certain level so that you can start delegating this stuff. I don't know. Another tangent, I guess, but that's kind of what I took from what you were talking about.
Hey, tangents are good. As a matter of fact, that's what keeps things interesting on things. And trust me, we do tangents all the time. So that's all good. I'm about ready to take you on another tangent right now. The listeners of our podcast have been really interesting in our segment where we ask our guests to discuss maybe an overlooked person, place, or experience that you would suggest them to discover. Somebody who's a very interesting person, would you share with us perhaps an overlooked person, place, or experience for people to look into?
An overlooked person, place, or experience. I would say an overlooked place. Hey, you got to come to Springfield and go to Table Rock Lake with us. It's absolutely gorgeous. We're here in the Ozarks, a beautiful Ozarks, and it's an unbelievable place. Again, we're in a flyover state here. So not a lot of people, it's either drive through or fly over, but if you get a chance to kind of check it out, it's absolutely gorgeous here.
Well, I've heard as a mountain biker, it's a fantastic area to come out to. So I will be a person who will take you up on that. And one other question before I turn over to Andrew is, as a hockey fan, I understand the St. Louis Blues are perhaps your passion. And what a great story a couple of years back for us to share quickly that the Blues were in the middle pack, not doing well. And then the song dead Gloria.
Dead last.
And then could you just tell 2 second story on Gloria, how a song could change a whole season?
It was, I must have listened to Gloria 500,000 times. Gloria, Gloria just got the blood pumping. And boy, the St. Louis Blues were in dead last place in the NHL. They took the holiday break, came back, and ended up making the playoffs just barely, that went on to win for the first time in franchise history since 1967, I believe, is when they came into the league. It was either 64 or 67. I think it was 67. But it's the first time they won a cup. And it was just an absolutely amazing story. And we were good friends with one of the original players on that first year's team on the Blues, Bobby Plager, who passed away later this year. But when I was getting married, I had an opportunity to get him on video. And I said, hey, can you please wish my wife and I, you know, a happy wedding? And he goes, and this is before they won. He said, okay, Jamie and Sarah, I want to wish you a happy marriage and life. And I know you come to the Blues camps and we'll get you a parade this year for your wedding gift. And sure enough, they had a parade down there. It was fantastic.
Oh, that sounds amazing. That's just I can picture it. I can. So tell me, Jamie, I believe you have a book. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for asking. So I don't have the book yet because it comes out in September, but I've got the green light from the publisher. I've written the rough manuscript. It's been accepted. It's now out with the beta readers. And so I can't wait to get their feedback. It's called Quit Repeating Yourself. And basically it's in 3 parts. And I've never seen anything like this. I've seen a bunch of sales books, a bunch of marketing books, but I've never seen anything that incorporates the 3 parts, which is culture and leadership, systems and processes, recruiting and hiring. And so it's not a huge heavy read, but what I did is kind of opened up what I did in my business here and what's worked for us. And hopefully that can help inspire or help someone, either a first-time entrepreneur or veteran entrepreneur out in looking at their business in a bit of a different way and building and documenting a system, leading with kindness, developing an incredible culture, and then specific strategies for recruiting and hiring. I've been hired over 1,000 people in my time. So I've learned a lot about the process and I just share everything that I've learned. Plus, I've talked with hundreds of different amazing business leaders. I've taken a lot from what they've done. I've shared that in the book as well.
Okay. Is it strange to say, can you say it again? The title of the book?
Oh, that was a good one.
Quit repeating yourself is the name of the book, so it's not strange to say it again. But
yeah,
and we'll put that link in the show notes, because when this show goes on the air, that book will be available for purchase. Everyone, I highly recommend it. I can't wait to get my copy, because I've got to quit repeating myself. And actually, Jamie has helped me in that process. That's why he's on this show today, is because he has helped our company in streamlining some processes from software we're using all the way to other aspects. But he's got a show that many of you should definitely tune into. It's not a podcast, if I can remember correctly. But tell us about that, Jamie.
Yeah, so I've been podcasting for several years. And then I decided to shift over to live streaming simply because there wasn't as much work on the back end. But it's really neat. Live streaming is a different kind of a different animal in a certain way, but a lot of the same elements are included. And we have a show called Live with Bottleneck. It happens every Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, where I interview unbelievable business leaders who are much smarter than I. And I just absolutely love having conversations with them. And then Friday morning, we do a little spin-off of it called A Week in Review. And that's where my wife and I talk at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. And we talk about what we did, A Week in Review. It's Live with Bottleneck, A Week in Review. And we talk about, these are the things we did. These are the challenges that we've had. This is how we overcame them. And this is what we're doing next week. And it's just kind of a neat little look into how a husband, wife kind of run a business, a remote-based business. And we've had some pretty positive feedback on it.
Well, that's great. No, we appreciate it. And thank you for joining us today. And, you know, for folks out there to look up, you know, Bottleneck Distant Assistance, look up Jamie J on LinkedIn and on these other mechanisms. I certainly learned a lot today. And certainly I really appreciated, Andrew, the conversations that Jamie started about innovators and then jumping the chasm, which I know we're all aspiring to do at this time. How about some of your takeaways from today's conversation, Andrew?
It sounds like I need to tune into this live show that they have every week. I've not seen it yet. I'm eagerly looking forward to that link. Certainly, it was already on my list to get his book. We need to watch for those cues in our life for things that need adjusting, because so many times we're on this set path to where this is the way I always do it. I always keep a checklist versus using another method that's much more efficient, or whatever the process is. We've got to look beyond how we always do things. That's how I've come away.
You also got to stop repeating yourself, Andrew, but I'll just leave that at that. Very important to make sure that's in there. Touche. Well, thank you. It was a great podcast today. Just want to remind our listeners that The New Nomad is not just a podcast. It's a community of people, ideas and spirit, helping you take advantage of that location independent lifestyle. Please tune in again. Please give good reviews, spread the word. We can also be found at thenewnomad.net or insurednomads.com. So travel well, stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you down the road. And we appreciate your time today. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.